Go ahead, stay seated. We've been studying how God will take the enemies of His people and He will deal with them. He breaks them. He melts them. He puts them under, and at the end of life, all they look at is perpetual turmoil and trouble and heartache. And I see this so often. And sometimes as Christians, we stand back and we say, yeah, that's right. And you know what? It's true. Not to judge anybody, because God judges, amen? But just to look at their life, we can surmise what God is doing because of their actions towards God, towards His church, amen? And so we see the folly is going to happen, and all you have to do is watch, and folly does happen. We see this in churches. Churches have seemed to forsake the righteousness of God, and they've gone what they call the easier path. But there comes a time, I was talking to Brother Breed tonight, that even the liberals can't take liberalism anymore. They get sick of it, because when you start, you got to keep going. At some point, if you have any Christian character at all, enough has got to be enough, amen? That's why we want to stay straight and do right, that when we look back, we don't have to look back to tragedy, but we look back to blessings. This is why I don't want to become comfortable on today, like today, what we had in our Sunday services. Some people have used the word embarrassment, amen, embarrassed. And I don't falter God for that. Let me tell you, not one iota I'd falter God for that. I think we have to examine ourselves. We worked hard since the first week in February, actually the first week in January. And this is the first Sunday we haven't had of something special, but let me remind you people that every Sunday's special when it's the Lord, amen? And so we get thinking, well, that's what they get. But I think as Christians we forget that God expects something out of us, amen? That God expects us to be right. We've seen churches have this philosophy. And we're seeing these churches start to crumble now. They say, well, you don't have to be so dogmatic. You don't have to be so stringent. You don't have to be so straight. To me, it's not stringent. It's just life. It's a good life. It's a disciplined life. You know, believe it or not, discipline is good. It really is. It's a good trait to have in one's life. Character. Godly character is good. It really is. And so they begin to think, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a blood-bought child of God, so I can go out and do anything I want to do. I've heard people say, well, that's just like you Baptists. You can get saved and you don't ever have to worry about dying and going to hell anymore, so you can go out and live like the devil. No. No. We teach if you belong to Christ, you ought to walk like Christ, amen? If you go back walking like the devil, I'm afraid the devil didn't get out of you and Christ Jesus didn't move in, amen? I mean, that's just facts. That's just the way it is. So tonight, quickly, I want to give two examples that God, when He takes His vengeance out on those outside of Him, He will take vengeance out on His children. You say, but that's not a loving God. Oh, but the Bible teaches us that if our fathers here on this earth correct us, punish us, amen, when we go astray, may I say this, they ought to, but there's not enough of it going around, amen, where's the pop at, you know? How much more should our Heavenly Father do the same to His children? Not out of anger, but out of love. He treats us as children, and I want to be the child of God, amen? And so now, if you'll join me in the book of Amos chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 4, "They saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for I will not turn away the punishment thereof." Now, we're talking about Judah. How many remember our study on kings? There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Which was the best out of the two? The southern kingdom, isn't that right? The northerners, boy, they were bad. But even the southerners, they had their trouble. He says, now this is the problem I have with you. Because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept His commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palace of Jerusalem. Now, as we begin to look at this people, God's people of Judah, which is Jerusalem, He had a problem with them. He says, you despise the law of the Lord. You have scorned it. You have put it aside. You have no love for the law of the Lord. I'm telling you something, my friends. We've got to continue our love with our God through the book. We've got to. You need it in your daily life. Say, oh man, I set out during the week and I promise I'm going to read the Bible every day, and by the time Saturday gets there, I haven't read it at all. Hey, put it on top of your pillow you sleep on, amen? And don't put it anywhere until you at least read a scripture. Well, I feel like I need to read 2 or 3 chapters, praise God. But at least read a scripture, amen? And then go to bed, have a prayer. You've got to have God's Word to feed you and to nourish you. That's what's going to make you strong and keep you straight. And there's nothing wrong being straight, is there? Not at all. And so he said, you have not kept my commandments. You despise or you scorn the law of God. Turn with me quickly back to the book of Leviticus. Can you turn with me to the book of Leviticus? In the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. I want to read something to you. If we don't get done tonight, oh well, there's always next week. Here's what God tells the nation of Israel. This is before they've split. He said in verse 1, and ye shall make no idols nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. That's verse 1, amen? In Leviticus 26, verse 2, ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord. Verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season. If you have a problem with no rain around here, let's get some Christians straightened up and eat it. Amen? Even the lost people, I was at Kmart this evening, and even the lost people says, man, rain comes right up to our door, and it'll go to the north and south of us, but won't rain on us. Me and my big mouth, I said, well, if the Christians would straighten up in Enid, maybe God would let it rain on them. Amen? And then I said, if you'd pay the preacher, maybe it'd rain. They said, which preacher? I said, now that's the question. Amen? I said, some preacher needs to start praying about this rain. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't even started praying about it yet. I know some of you have been praying for rain and stuff like that, but I haven't prayed for it yet. And I'm not going to say if I pray for it, it'll come. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not that arrogant or that stupid to say something like that. And the lady said, how many preachers does it take to make it rain in Enid? I thought it was, how many does it take to change a light bulb, you know? I said, well, if he's an honorable man and in touch with God, it only takes one good one, amen? I said, I remember a man who prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years. Then he prayed again and it got wet everywhere. I said, that's only one guy. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit. For your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely, and I will give you peace in the land. Ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Here's what I like, man. I love this scripture. I mean, listen to this next scripture, okay? Don't listen. Listen to it, but read along with me, okay? He said, and 5 of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. I will have respect in you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And this reminds me of an old cowboy movie. How many remembers the old cowboy movie? And this one cowboy on this horse, and man, bang, bang, bang. He's got 10 cowboys on the run, and they're all 10 on their horses going, bang, 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 you know. And I get thinking to myself, let me see, 10 cowboys against one. Okay, we're turning this horse around. And then I see the little one guy start to run 10 guys after him. You know what I'm saying? But old Roy Rogers, bless his heart, he could have been the only hombre out there, but he was chasing 10 guys and they are running from him. Isn't that right? This is what I think about with the scripture. He said, 5 of you will make 100 run. 100 of you will make 10,000 run. Why? It's not what they're doing. It's what God's doing. Amen. It's what God's doing. And I love this scripture here because this is the promise of God and this is the power that God has in him for his people. I love that. Don't you? I think I'm the only one excited about this. Everybody's out there, okay, Brother Terry, let's quit. I'm going to go to supper. Yeah. Okay. And he said this. He says, and ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk and then I'll do. Someone said, you ought to go to the doctor. I did, and that's what I got from him, a cough. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. Isn't this exciting? Oh my. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. He said, man, look what I've done for you. Let me ask you, folks, what has God done for us? Come on. What has he done for us? Has he not done everything? Has he not done everything? Doesn't that make you excited? Oh, I'm excited. No, you need to be excited. God's willing to do this for us. But there's a condition. People say, well, God has unconditional love. His love has conditions. He loved us enough to die on the cross for us, but he's not taking you to heaven until you accept him. That's a condition. His love has conditions. He says, if you love me and keep my commandments, I'll do this. Isn't that right? Okay. But, verse 14. If ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or your soul abhorred my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror and consumption. He says, I'm going to bring terror and I'm going to bring decay and rot. And the burning ague, and shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. Can you imagine? Nobody's even pursuing them, and they're running. Because they think somebody's after them. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. He says, if I cause all this stuff to come on you and you still won't straighten up, I'm going to punish you 7 times more. Oh my goodness. Can you see this now in the book of Amos, where they have come to this point where God says, I blessed you, you little booger you. Can I say that from the pulpit? I blessed you. I've taken care of you. I fed you. I clothed you. And you still don't love me? My friends, this is what I don't want to forget as a church. God has clothed us in His righteousness. Amen. He has cleaned us up. He has fed us with His Word. He's given us water to drink, eternal water. And we cannot afford to abhor His judgment. We can't afford to deny His commandments in our lives. We can't afford to turn our back on Him. Because as long as we keep our eyes on the Lord and do His will, we have blessings and not cursings. I like that. I like having like Solomon did. Lord was just, His hand was over him, and His enemies didn't even give Him any trouble. You say, boy, wouldn't that be great? Let's get as a church where we need to be for the Lord. God will calm the enemies. We'll be able to work in the field without any trouble. How many believe that? It's a fact. You say, well, the devil's always going to raise his head. But you know, with God, He can only raise it so high. I like mowing the big lots out here. I'll get in a habit where I do it on Thursdays again. I haven't done it this year, but I'm getting there. A lot of our lots have weeds in them. They're made up of weeds. Oh, they're green and it's so pretty. And it smells like fresh cut weeds when you mow it. I mean, there's nothing that smells like fresh cut weeds than fresh cut weeds. Amen? But when I mow, I like to scalp. Amen? And I put that thing down low. And when those dirty, stinking weeds start to come up, I don't let them get too high because I mow them down low. Amen? And when we're serving God, maybe the enemies might try to raise their head. But God's got the mower and He's ready to take him down another notch. How many likes that kind of philosophy? I like that kind of life. So He said, you've despised the law. Judah had made herself like the heathens. She had taken it and made the same sins that other nations had made. The only difference between them and the other nations that we talked about earlier, He wasn't chastising them for injuries to other mankind. Brother Tom, what He's chastising them for is for the indignities that they did to God. You say, well, I'm not causing mankind any trouble, but in our lives, are we showing indignities to our great God by the way we live? You see? That's what it was all about. They kept not the commandment. The Bible says in this verse, He says in Amos, He says, in your lies caused them to err. Now, we could have gone down the road with other churches and quit preaching so hard and so straight. We could have led up on some things, and I take that back. We couldn't do it in right mind, amen, and of good conscience towards God. But we, you know, we could have followed the path of others, I guess. Churches have quit having church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. They only have church on Sunday mornings. Why bother? If you're only going to help your flock out once a week, why even bother? Amen? Dogs we have at our house, they want fed more than just Sunday morning. They get cranky when they don't get fed. They get cranky when they don't get their special treats. Our one female dog will come get to my wife and start pushing on her. Say, sister, have you forgotten something? She said, what you want, Macy? She looks at her and goes, rawr. Well, what is it you want? And she'll walk out to the kitchen. Cheryl won't go. She comes back in and nudges her. Rawr, rawr. What she said is, sister, you know what I want. So Cheryl will follow this dumb dog out into the kitchen. And she'll stick her nose in an open box. And that open box has bones in it. What are they called? Huh? Milk bones. I tasted one and I never tasted milk in it at all. Don't taste like milk. Tell you what, I wanted to drink a gallon of milk after I ate one. I didn't eat one. And so Cheryl will get in there. Dog want to be fed. Now we got another dog. This dog is a big idiot. Look at him. The lights are on, but nobody's home in that brain. Isn't this true? Dumb as a box of rocks. This dog, he doesn't go up and take Cheryl and nudge her and go, oh, oh, oh. He goes to the open box and helps himself. That's just like a man, isn't it? That's just like a man. Reminds you of Luke, doesn't it, April? But they expect to be fed more than that. Folks, we don't need to lie to people and say, ah, oh, come once a Sunday and that's good enough. That's not good enough. It's important. Christ Jesus met with his church every day of the week. And when he came up missing, everybody went out looking for him. Remember, he got up early one morning and the disciples were still asleep. He went off to pray. And I mean, the disciples just hunted him down. They're like a bunch of old dogs. And they said, now, where have you been? Everybody's looking for you. I know, that's why I disappeared. You know? And he went back to work, didn't he? Folks, we've got to be right. We can't have a preacher stand up and say the sin that we commit is okay when God says it's not okay. We can't say that the actions that we perform is okay when we know the Word of God teaches us that even the appearance of evil is wrong. Amen? I told Brother RJ this week, I said, Brother, I'm beginning to think we are strange, according to the world. I'm starting to believe that we're a little strange according to other sister churches. I still believe the preacher ought to bring a Bible up to the platform and not an iPad. Leave that technology where it needs. I usually have a handwritten notes, but I got these typed. My friends, I think when the Bible says you are a peculiar people, I'm beginning to think we are. But in a good way. In a good way. I know your preacher's about as peculiar as they come. I know that. But I love to be what Matthew talked about. I like to be salt. I like to be the spice of life. Amen? That's what I want to be. I want to be the spice of life in a lifeless world. I want to be the spice of flavor to a flavorless world. Amen? I just want to do it God's way. How about you? Amen. I'm going to quit here in about another 30 minutes. No. He says, well, what I'm going to do, and I was going to take you over to Isaiah chapter 28, verses 14 and 15, but I'll let you look that up at home. He said, I'm going to bring fire upon Judah. And did he not with Nebuchadnezzar? He sure did. And then lastly, he talks to Israel, the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. He said in this verse 6, he says, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteousness for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes, that pant after the dust of the earth of the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek. And a man and his father will go into the same maid to profane my holy name. And they lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar. And they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Sell their righteousness for silver. Folks, this is something that we try not to do. It's called selling out. How many's ever heard that term before? God help us not to sell out. Sometimes our family members have sold out to the things of the devil. Sometimes our friends that have been dear friends to us have sold out to the ways of the devil. There have been great churches sell out to the ways of the devil for silver. But my friends, there's not enough money worth selling ourselves to the devil. Judas thought 30 pieces of silver was enough. Brother Rick, he despised it after he did it, to the point that he killed himself. My friends, there is no reason under the sun why we should sell out to the things of the world. If you'll just look across this city of the churches who've sold out from the righteousness of God, and look at them today, and you don't even have to take a microscope after them anymore. You see decay. You see division. And let me tell you something. When you build the house of God on the devil, you're going to crumble. When you build the house of God on lies of the Satan, my friends, you might look good for a little bit, but consumption's setting in, rot, and it will fail. Say, you're not to judge. I'm not judging. I'm just telling you that's the way it is. You can't build the house of God on sickness. When somebody has a disease, they cut the sickness part out of it. I had an appendix one time. Why did God give us an appendix? So the surgeon can take it out and charge us $50,000. We get the old gallbladder, and it gets sick and starts to decay inside, doesn't it, Brother Bickerstaff? Amen. You got to cut that rascal out and then have open heart surgery 30 minutes later. That's a tough old bird over there. But you got to cut it out and get the fresh and the good meat around. The blood flow, amen? My friends, we've got to have the good meat. We've got to have the good blood flow so the body will be healthy. I could take you to the book of Leviticus chapter 25 and read verses 39 through 43. For the smallest gain or bribe, they would oppose a poor man. Even though the poor man's cause might be righteousness, judgment came against him. And God tells us in the book of Leviticus how to treat the poor brothers and sisters. For the poor, they sold them for a pair of shoes. Exodus chapter 22, verses 25 through 27 talks about that. Here's the sad thing about it. Many times the worst abominations and the most grievous oppressions have been committed by professed worshipers of God. It's not the lost who's done the most grievous oppressions, but many times it's the worshipers of God who have been found guilty. Just quickly, let's just read. He reminds them in verse 9, "Yet destroy I the Amorites before them." He's reminding them of the good that he did, whose height was like the heights of the cedar, and he was strong as a yoke. He says, "Yet I destroyed his fruits from above and his roots from beneath." He says, "I brought him down." He reminded Israel, he says, "I brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorites." And they didn't have to wait 40 years, but their sin kept them out of the promised land. "And I raised up your sons for prophets and your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord?" He said, "Did I not raise up Nazarites from your children?" Now, how many remember the Nazarites? They were holy people. They were sanctified and set apart for a certain amount of time. And boy, they couldn't touch nothing or do much of anything. He says, "But you gave Nazarites wine to drink." They wasn't supposed to take any of that stuff, yet you gave it to them. You were saying, "Oh, God understands. It's okay." That's what churches are doing today with their members. Members are sinning and say, "Oh, it's okay. God knows your heart. He understands we're all sinners." No, he doesn't understand. God doesn't want us to sin. How many have sinned this week? How many have been forgiven this week? How many of you understand where I'm going? He says, "And he commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not." Remember when God had those prophets up in Israel, that the king actually said, "Why don't you go south? We don't want you around here anymore. We don't want you prophesying. Just go on down towards Jerusalem and Judea. We don't need you anymore." And this is when you know the children of God are backslidden, when they don't want the preacher preaching to them anymore. When they don't want the truth given to them anymore. You know, it's like, "Sing me a story of Jesus. Tell me only of his love." Amen. "Tell me of his goodness and tell me how I can go out and live like the devil during the week and God understands. I'll tell you of his love. I'll tell you he doesn't want you to go out and live like the devil. I'm going to tell you you can get right with God and that you ought to get right with God." Amen. But we don't need to lie. That's what's happened to our great churches. They've received a lie from the preacher and saying, "Well, everything's okay when things aren't okay." Corinthians had trouble with that. "How many are ready for me to quit? Behold, I'm pressed unto you as the cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. Therefore the flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not strengthen his forces, neither shall the mighty deliver himself. Neither shall he stand at the right holdeth the bow, and he that is swift afoot shall not deliver himself. Neither shall he that rideth the horse deliver himself." You know, my friends, you can't run from God. Can't run from God. Some people are just finding out after 15 years running from God that you can't run from God. Your feet aren't fast enough, nor is your Mustang that you drive. You can't run from God. You say, oh, I need to quit running from God. Amen. When you come to that point, quit. Stop, drop. What's the deal with the fire? Stop, drop, and roll. Stop. Get on your knees and roll back into the arms of Jesus. Amen. Stop, drop, and roll. Let's all stand.